The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I'm Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Vision News. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you the American Printing House is holding webinars April 12th and 14th. The two previous ones have already passed. The North Carolina Reading Service, in conjunction with Humana, is hosting a webinar April 27th about aging and blindness. Cool Blind Tech has a little blurb about IKEA releasing an audio catalog to replace their print one. The Blind Post has a list of sermons by phone. The National Organization of Parents of Blind Children and NFB have a convention coming up July 6th through 10th that will be virtual. GLASS, the Georgia has a summer reading program June 1st through July 24th. The website sexsavvyhudsonvalley.com is hosting parenting workshop April 28th about how to talk to your tweens and preteens about sex. Cool Blind Tech also has articles about shopping cart navigation, and if I get a chance, I'll read some more. So let's get started. The American Printing House webinars for low vision exam, what is it, who needs it, what comes next, was on March 31st, and the Teen Tech Talk with Michael and Mitch Smedley was April 5th, but the upcoming webinars are Braille 101 for Babies and Toddlers. That will be April 12th, 2021 from 2 to 3:30 p.m. Description, the number one indicator of a child's success as a Braille reader is having the support of a family member who can read Braille. Babies and toddlers benefit significantly from sharing the experience of reading a Braille book with their caregivers, and they become more active participants in reading time when a caregiver models following the Braille text. In order to do this, parents and caregivers need a basic understanding of the Braille code. This workshop will teach the Braille alphabet, numbers, basic punctuation, and a few Braille contractions. ACVREP credit is available for the live webinar. Register at the hot link, and there is an external link for that. Diabetes Basics will be on April 14th, 2021 at 4 to 5:30 Eastern Time. This webinar is designed to provide participants with a basic understanding of diabetes. We will discuss how to manage blood sugar levels to prevent diabetes complications, including vision loss. We'll also discuss how to find accessible resources for people with diabetes and low or no vision. ACVREP credit is available for this live webinar. Register at the American Printing House website. Signed, Melanie Pesco, MPH, Digital Content and Engagement Specialist, APH Connect Center at www.aphconnectcenter.org. Facebook communities are Family Connect, Career Connect, Vision Aware. Twitter handle, www.twitter.com/APHConnect. Tickets now available for Vision Aware webinar at NCRS. Join us for our Vision Aware webinar. Sight issues we face as we mature. Tuesday, April 27, 2021, Vision Aware webinar 1 to 3 p.m. Click on the hot link to register. Presented by the North Carolina Reading Service, this event is sponsored by Humana. Topic headlights, learn about the latest on low vision technology, adjusting to changing vision, eye diseases that affect us as we age, treatment for eye diseases, agenda, 1 to 110 welcome and introductions, 110 to 135 opening your world with low vision care by Dr. Henry Green, OD, FAAO. 135 to 150, services through Division of Services for the Blind, Cynthia Spate, MS. 152 to 220, introduction to low vision rehabilitation by Omar Mohuddin, MS, OTR, L, MPH. What is low vision rehabilitation? Tools and technology available for low vision persons. 220 to 230, North Carolina Reading Service, our expanding services. 2:30 to 3 o'clock, Adjusting to Changing Vision, Paul Rowland, PhD. Understanding Vision Loss, Maximizing Your Vision. Fee, ticket for the event, $15. Speakers, Henry Green, OD, FAAO, graduated from the Pennsylvania College of Optometry. He established Academy Eye Associates in 1980 and is a retired faculty member in the Department of Ophthalmology at UNC. President of Ocutech, Dr. Green has been the principal investigator on over $1.5 million in NIH grant funding to develop optical devices to aid the visually impaired. Dr. Green is widely published in peer-reviewed journals and texts and presents lectures and courses nationally and internationally on managing the needs of the visually impaired. In 2008, he received the William Fine Bloom Career Achievement Award, one of optometry's highest honors, from the American Academy of Optometry for his work in visual impairment. Cynthia Spate, MS, is the director of DHHS's Division of Services for the Blind. Ms. Spate is passionate about DSB's mission to provide high-quality services that help blind, visually impaired, and deafblind individuals achieve their employment and independent living goals. She received both her Master of Science in Rehabilitation Counseling and Bachelor of Science in Psychology from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Omar Mohuddin, MS, OTRL, MPH, earned his graduate degrees in Occupational Therapy and Public Health from the University of Alabama at Birmingham. He works at the Duke Eye Center with vision rehabilitation and performance, where he sees clients with age-related and acute onset vision impairment. He addresses how these changes in vision affect occupational performance challenges in activities of daily living and instrumental ADLs, including community and work accessibility, functional mobility, and driving safety. Paul Rowland, Ph.D., is a retired psychologist for North Carolina's Services for the Blind who has pastored Berea Presbyterian Church for the last 6 years. Though he is legally blind, he has very limited color vision and has never been able to drive. He has not let those facts stop him from working full-time, traveling, or otherwise enjoying life. Dr. Rowland was born and raised in Georgia, where he attended the public schools. For more than 30 years, Dr. Rowland was the psychologist for the NC Services for the Blind. At his retirement, he was awarded the Order of the Longleaf Pine. For more information about this event, please call NCRS at 919-832-5138 or email Janet at ncreadingservice.org. You can click on the hot link to register now. From coolblindtech.com, IKEA replaces its print catalog with an audiobook. Posted March 22nd, when IKEA canceled its print catalog last year, it ended at plans to venture into new formats to better reach an increasingly internet-dependent customer base. The world's largest furniture company bolstered its e-commerce platform, built a better mobile app, and opened a string of small retail outlets in urban areas around the world. In what may be its zaniest gambit yet, IKEA has launched an audiobook. Published on Spotify, Audible, and YouTube, the IKEA audio catalog is essentially a quippy version of its 288-page product book for the U.S. market. Narrator Jasmine Richardson improves on humdrum product descriptions by ad-libbing jokes and inserting wry observations throughout the almost four-hour audio track. For a section on home organization, for instance, she riffs, "Did you know that research says we spend up to 6 years of our lives looking for things? Well, that explains a lot. If you'd rather spend that time doing something fun, we have good news for you. Getting organized is a totally doable dream. Underneath, we see some light gray cotton imported Regisar baskets for $6.99 for a set of three. There are some knick-knacks thrown inside. Each of these would be great for running out the door and promptly forgetting your wallet or mask." And for a page about clever solutions for wrangling small items around the house, she says, "Next, we see some interesting little uses for other things, like a Bergenes holder for a mobile phone or tablet for $3.99. Next, we see a little rack holding some paper and some envelopes." The caption reads, "Technically, it's a plate holder. In real life, it's an I'm happy to hold whatever you need me to hold holder. I too would love to be held." Richardson, who has had notable Broadway and television credits, was hired for her ability to convey a smart but quirky and slightly offbeat fun quality. According to Della Matthew, executive creative director of Ogilvy, IKEA's advertising agency, selecting a black voice talent also underscores the Swedish brand's commitment to diversity and inclusion, she adds. IKEA's foray into audio-based marketing capitalizes on the surge of podcast and audiobook consumption during the months of lockdown. We thought bringing a new kind of inspiration to people who could benefit from it during these difficult times, a spokesperson said. With audiobook and podcast listeners growing during the pandemic, we loved the idea of inspiring listeners by leveraging our iconic catalog in an entirely new, immersive, and completely IKEA-ish way. IKEA touts the audiobook as a first-of-its-kind production for its U.S. operations. It produced a narrated version of its 2019 catalog for the Swedish market. Blind Post Sermons by Phone by Linda Stewart. Sermons on the phone, 773-572-6206. Number 1, When Nothing Seems to Make Sense by Adrian Rogers. Number 2, Assurance in the Unknown by Robert A. Cook. Number 3, It Will Cost You Everything by Steve Lawson. Number 4, You Are the Outcome of What You Choose by John MacArthur. Number 5, To Die is Gain, Steve Lawson. Number 6, The Purposes of God That Are Unfolding in Our Time by John MacArthur. Number 8, The Hidden Struggle of Loneliness by Tim Lundy. Number 9, The Hidden Struggle of Temptation by Tim Lundy. I pray you will be blessed. Email me at linda.lassie903@gmail.com. Signed, Linda. This has been a Blind Post News Extra Extra Notice by Lori Motis. Posted on Facebook by the National Organization of Parents of Blind Children, NOPBC, please mark your calendars for the 2021 annual NOPBC conference held during the 2021 NFB annual convention, July 6 through 10, 2021. We will use distance technology to gather together this summer, and registration is free for both the NOPBC convention and the NFB conference. Please register each of your family members. It's free. Bonus, this year you may register for both the NFB convention and the NOPBC conference using the online registration form at https://nfb.org/civicrm/event/register. Also posted on the NOPBC Facebook group, GLASS Virtual Summer Reading Program. Please pass on this information to parents of blind and visually impaired students, TVIs, and blind consumer groups. We promise that the summer reading program is an event that students will not want to miss. GLASS Virtual Children's Summer Reading Program, June 1st to July 24th, 2021. Tales and Tales, T-A-I-L-S and T-A-L-E-S. Featuring The Amazing World of Animals, Tall Tales of Animals with Tales. Register for GLASS Summer Reading Program. We have book lists, online programs, and story time, fun challenges and activities, and much more. Easy online registration. Track your progress as you complete challenges. Complete required badges to be eligible to win the grand prize of a mini iPad and other prizes. Sponsored by the Georgia Libraries for Accessible Statewide Services, GLASS. A parenting workshop for the blind community, How to Talk to Your Tweens and Teens About Sexuality, Part 2, sponsored by SexSavvyHudsonValley.com. Time and location, April 28, 8 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Zoom online workshop. About the event. In this workshop, we dive deeper into your values about sexuality, focusing on what you learned from childhood and how it impacts how you communicate with your teen. We continue to explore how your values about sexuality intersect with being blind and can impact the blind community. We will review talking tips from the previous workshop and work in small groups to practice communication skills with scenarios. There's a hot link to RSVP on the SexSavvyHudsonValley.com website. Also from CoolBlindTech.com, this shopping cart can help people with blindness navigate. A 24-year-old user experience designer created a prototype shopping cart for people with blindness and low vision. What is the prototype called? Anna Frederiksa, Frederikse, came up with the prototype for Sona, a reimagined shopping cart handle that assists shoppers in navigating stores using voice commands and haptic feedback systems, touch-based communication like when a cell phone vibrates. How does the Sona work? The Sona is a portable handlebar that can be attached to any shopping cart. The shopping assistant allows those who are blind or have low vision to lead more independent lives, like running errands without requiring assistance. Each button on the device is developed to help shoppers that are blind or have low vision to independently navigate shopping centers, Frederiksa stated. It relies on voice commands and haptic feedback systems to direct the shopper around the store. A separate scanner is attached to the handle that will allow shoppers to scan barcodes and identify different objects. What are some of the features of the Sona? The buttons include a voice-operating shopping list, locator for specific items in the store, a navigation system, a scanner for items with and without barcodes, and an alert to notify staff that the customer needs assistance. There's a hot link for a video demo showed the Sona in use at a supermarket. It let the customer know when an obstacle was obstructing their path, told them which products were available in the aisle, which were on sale, how much it cost, and also helped the customer find the checkout lane. While Sona is a cool prototype right now, if it was ever manufactured, it could do wonders in fostering independence for those in need of assistance. I finally have enough time left to read the entire Baltimore Magazine article about Sandy Greenberg. Mind's Eye. Without sight for nearly 60 years, Wilmer Eye Institute Board Chairman Sandy Greenberg aims to end blindness, by Corey McLaughlin. Illustrated by Sonia Roy. Photography by Mike Morgan. On Valentine's Day 1961, his mother sat near the foot of his hospital bed and the light was almost gone. "Son," the doctor had told him a day earlier, "you're going to be blind tomorrow." Sandy Greenberg was just 20 when he first heard those gut-punching words in a Detroit exam room, but they remained seared in his mind just like the lasting image of his wife of 55 years, Sue, or the memory of the patch of illuminated New York City grass that one of his college roommates and lifelong friends, Art Garfunkel, yes, him, pointed to freshman year and said, "Look at what the light does to the color," during a walk on the corner of Amsterdam and 118th Streets in Columbia University's Upper West Side campus. Everything else is a picture he has to paint in his imagination, like his three children and four grandchildren, or his sense of the beloved Rembrandt that hangs in his Washington, D.C. apartment, and more recently the presumed shocked expressions of board members and faculty at Johns Hopkins' world-renowned Wilmer Eye Institute when 6 years ago an impeccably dressed blind man who had grown up poor walked up to a noteless podium and issued an astonishing challenge. He eventually announced it publicly. The Sanford and Susan Greenberg Prize, $2 million in gold, to whoever does the most to end blindness by the year 2020. This was his moonshot. "This is our destiny," Greenberg said. "End it, end it, end it." His story is a cruel irony and a fascinating paradox rolled into a remarkable life, powerful and inspiring enough to rally a group of the world's top doctors and scientists, and undeniably audacious enough to garner the world's attention. Yes, Dr. Sanford Greenberg, chairman of the Board of Governors of one of the best eye institutes on the planet, is blind, but you might not know it when you meet him. Standing just outside the door to his office in the Watergate building in D.C., without a cane or seeing eye dog, and dressed in a dark suit and purple tie, Greenberg is tall, well-built, and wearing glasses that rest near the graying hair at his temples. He offers a warm introduction and a firm handshake. "You sit over there," he says politely and deliberately, intimating a spot on the far end of a U-shaped white couch, "and I'll sit over here." As he does so carefully, a 1987 photo of him playing basketball against former Senator and New York Knick Bill Bradley comes into view over his left shoulder. "That's what life is about," he says. "You go beyond what you think you can do." This is a man who grew up in a blighted neighborhood of Buffalo, with a father who escaped the Nazis and died in America when Greenberg was 5, and a stepfather who ran a junk shop to provide for Greenberg, his mother, and 3 siblings. He earned a full academic scholarship to Columbia University. During his junior year, he lost his sight because of a mistake. A doctor prescribed steroid eye drops for allergic conjunctivitis that, left unchecked, built pressure and fluid in Greenberg's young eyes, destroying his optic nerves and giving him glaucoma. After days of dark depression, he emerged to live a rich and distinguished life. It was anything but the future of caning chairs or making screwdrivers that a social worker had told him he was destined for. No, after going blind, Greenberg graduated from Columbia, earning straight A's that final semester and being elected class president. He earned his MBA there, too, and went on to attend Oxford on a Marshall Scholarship. Later, he earned a master's and a PhD in political science at Harvard, where he also attended law school for a year, leaving only to become a White House fellow in President Lyndon Johnson's administration. He has operated a variety of successful businesses in science, technology, and real estate, and created a transcendent invention, a variable speech control device. Jonas Salk, who cured polio, once peppered Greenberg with questions about his creation, the first to compress and expand the recorded human voice while keeping it intelligible. Greenberg patented the idea in 1969, 8 years after losing his sight. It was born from necessity, as he taught to absorb information in more words per minute than Braille allowed, and faster than the speeds at which the volunteers that read books to him could speak. The founder and then president of Sony thought enough to sign a contract for the rights to use the technology in tape recorders and cassettes, which made a poor blind but extremely smart kid financially independent. People call them polymaths, somebody who can excel intellectually in many different fields, says Dr. Peter McDonnell, a smart man himself and the director of Wilmer since 2003. I'm jealous. I know his IQ is 2 to 3 times what mine is. If the roughly 40 million blind people living on Earth were to have their version of a Beethoven, the famously deaf composer, Greenberg might be it. 7 years ago, citing his business acumen and 2-decades-long relationship with Johns Hopkins, a trustee emeritus for the University and Hopkins Medicine, McDonnell asked Greenberg if he wanted to chair Wilmer's board. "I think you want somebody who can see," Greenberg replied initially, hesitant to be defined by his handicap as so many fear. In fact, a Wilmer study published in October 2016 concluded that most Americans consider blindness the worst ailment that could happen to them, worse than losing a limb, memory, speech, or hearing, and for good reason. The Baltimore-based advocacy group, the National Federation of the Blind, estimates that 70% of blind people in the United States are unemployed. The primary problem that blind people have is low expectations, says Chris Danielson, the Federation's public relations director for the last 8 years, who was born blind. We spent a lot of time combating that. Currently, more than 110,000 people in Maryland face partial or complete vision loss. But Greenberg flies in the face of standard blind practice, declining to use a white cane, braille, or a guide dog, and preferring to walk alone and asking for help only if he really needs it. He lives with his wife in a building adjacent to his office. "That's the way I maintain my dignity," he says. "I know if I were to tell other blind people that's the way I deal, they'd think I was ignorant. For other people not to have the good fortune that I have," referring to a support system of family, friends, and business associates, "well, that kills me. That is one of the motivating reasons we've got to get rid of this wretched curse." The chances of survival for the blind and resources to correct vision dwindle significantly outside our borders. For instance, in India, the life expectancy for a child born blind is 2 years, Greenberg says. A 60 Minutes segment earlier this year profiled a pair of doctors who performed what Americans would think of as routine cataract surgery in order to return vision to more than 150,000 people in 24 countries, including far-flung Nepal. "It's been 6 or 7 million years since our bipedal ancestors and we humans have been plagued by blindness, and nothing has changed," Greenberg says. "That seems immoral." For several days after he went blind, Greenberg holed up in his bedroom. He took sleeping pills to escape the days and shunned most visitors except for 2. Sue, the love of his life, whom he started dating in 10th grade, he thought she would leave him. "That never occurred to me," she says. "No one should have to endure what he went through." The other was his smart-alecky, big-haired friend Garfunkel. He wasn't yet famous, and they were the original S&G. There's reel-to-reel rock and roll tapes from freshman and sophomore year to prove it. Sanford on drums, Garfunkel on guitar. "I need you to come back," Garfunkel said, ultimately convincing Greenberg to return to school, despite his family's fears that he might be killed in Manhattan. "Arthur was primarily responsible for taking care of me," Greenberg says. "He'd take me to class, to and from, take me around the city, fix my tape recorder when it broke, bandage my shins when I bloodied them, and more." One late afternoon, Greenberg could smell the grease from the subway platform in New York's Grand Central Station. For a moment, he hoped a train would hit him just to end it all. Garfunkel, who had brought him back to school and read textbooks to him nightly, had just abandoned him after a heated debate. And now Greenberg was furious, alone, blind, and disoriented, in one of the world's busiest train stations. Rush hour was approaching. He knocked into a woman. He tripped over a baby in a stroller, and the mother yelled at him. "I wanted to be both dead and alive," he says. He managed to stumble into the correct train, make a connection, and emerge near Broadway and 116th Street at Columbia's campus. "Oops, I'm sorry," a man said as he bumped into Greenberg. It was the familiar voice of Garfunkel, who had followed him and purposely set up the entire situation to show Greenberg that he can be self-sufficient. "That episode defined me," Greenberg says. "When I came out of the subway, I had a different worldview, no more doubt and fear." There's a reason why the Greenberg Prize to End Blindness will be paid in gold. It's the color of one of Greenberg's last sighted memories, a sunset stroll on the shores of Lake Erie that he shared with Sue. Several distinguished individuals make up the prize's governing council. Among them is former U.S. Attorney General Michael Mukasey, whom Greenberg was headed to meet the day Garfunkel disappeared in Grand Central. Mukasey was one of Greenberg's textbook and test readers. And his third college roommate, Jerry Speier, a successful commercial real estate magnate. Dr. William Brody, the former Johns Hopkins president who shared Greenberg's story in a speech at the university's 2005 graduation, is another founding member, as is McDonnell. In memoriam, so is the late David Rockefeller, once the richest man in the world, who financed the White House Fellows Program and became Greenberg's lifelong mentor. During a Charlie Rose interview in 2014, Greenberg sat alongside Nobel laureate Dr. Eric Kandel and notable leading researchers in the world of ophthalmology and said the prize that he and his wife were offering was now $3 million. The experts chatted, among other things, about retinal chip technology that in its first edition can allow the blind to see black shadows against a white background. They talked about using stem cells to regrow cells in the retina, the part of the eye that absorbs light and sends it through the optic nerve to the back of the brain, which creates the images we see. "I think about Sandy's story and wonder, is anything possible," Dr. McDonnell says, "or is everything possible?" Indeed, Johns Hopkins researchers and scientists are among those doing work previously only imagined in science fiction. In 2014, Dr. Maria Valeria Canto-Soler induced human stem cells to grow into a light-sensitive three-dimensional retina that lived in a petri dish. It looked like a jellyfish in water. In April, Dr. Jeff Mumm published findings on accelerating the regeneration of the eyes of zebrafish, which are similar to humans at the cellular level. I have run out of time again. We've run out of time for today's episode of Vision News. Be sure to listen next week. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm Doris Hyde, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Vision News is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.